that song articulates the way many of us feel and the way our society is. I mean, we're looking for the spiritual. The spiritual is in. People want to be tapped into something, and sometimes we have different names for it. We're looking for God. We're looking for the Spirit. We're looking for angels. We're looking for something to actually make a difference, and that's what we're going to talk about today as we conclude this series on change. And what I want to tell you is today is going to be as high octane as you can get, because we're going to talk about what the real Spirit is. And it may contradict some of the general spirituality that's come to be known and accepted by many, many people in our society. And I think about that in relationship to this thing I have here on the stage, which is something you might find in a hospital or maybe at the bedside of somebody in the house who's having some medical problems, or maybe actually in an oxygen bar. Luke, I am your father. You know, I have to do that at least once every 3 weeks, and just because I enjoy doing it. You know, I get some perks with this job, but you know, the whole oxygen bar thing is really something that's taken off in L.A., out in California, out in the land of fruit and nuts. You know, it's really big out there, but here in Cincinnati, there was actually an oxygen bar a while ago and went out of business. So I guess it's because we see ourselves a little more stable. We got awful problems here in Cincinnati, but oxygen bars isn't one of them. But what this reminds me of is that you can be hooked up to any number of things, but the question is, will it make a difference? And there hasn't been any medical studies that have shown that oxygen bars make any difference, but if you think that it does, then it feels good to you. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of things that we get hooked up to spiritually that there is no evidence that it's making any difference in our life, but we think that we feel better, and so we keep doing it. And today I'm going to talk about what it's like to be hooked up to the ultimate difference maker, to the real Spirit of God, and what that can do as far as change in your life. And I'd like you to ask you to stand with me, if you would, right now. And you're also going to need, I'd ask you also to take a step to your left or right, fill in the aisles a bit, because people are backed up and they need some seats. So let's do that, and as I pray right now, let's pray. God, I ask that you would help us today and help us to understand you and help us to understand ourselves. And I pray that your power would come to bear in our life in a way that we maybe never experienced it before. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Well, before I continue on and cap this series out on change, I wanted to just do a couple public service announcements, because some things have been happening around here that it's important for you to know. You know, we call ourselves Crossroads Community Church, not just because we want to be a blessing to the community at large and be a place for people who have not connected with God and haven't gone to church to be able to come here and kind of be challenged and grow. Not just because of that, but because, thank you, Steve. Not just because of that, but also because we don't want to be this place where you just kind of come in here, park your fanny, have some inspirational things happen on a weekend, and then walk out. We want to actually do life with one another, whatever is appropriate for you, and have community, biblical community. A few things have happened around here that remind me about this this last week. One was friends of mine who have been core people in this church for 7 years lost their son to a tragic gymnastic accident. You know, and yesterday, in the midst of their funeral, I saw the incredible community here rally around them as people in their group, their A-team, their small group, whatever you want to call it, are serving them and getting them meals, and other people just kind of doing everything from running point on dealing with the press to everything. I just saw this place come around them, and it was just an incredible, beautiful thing. It helped me remind why, one of the reasons why we're here, to help us in the midst of pain and difficulty. And interestingly enough, this last year, the two biggest tragedies in Cincinnati, which was that, and what happened over at Summit with the school collapsing, was so strange that our church is at the fulcrum point of the helping in both of those. Starting tomorrow, Summit is going to actually be here. This is going to be their facility to use for school from Monday to Friday. And so we thought we came into a building to kind of have our own play. Yeah, go ahead and clap on that. It's great, isn't it? It's a way we really can be a blessing to others. And we thought that we get in here, we were going to get out of the setup and teardown business. because we were in that business for about 5 years. And what do you know? We're back in it as of today at 1 o'clock. We're now tearing down Kids Club and then going to be setting it back up. And so the request for many of you is, hey, we need people to be a part of that team. And if you're not involved around here at all, this is an easy way and a significant way for you to help. 1 o'clock, just go head over there at 1 o'clock in the kind of gathering place in Kids Club, and we'll have people help you figure out how you might help. So that's going to be a cool thing that we're going to be able to do and help them with. Also, some of the pain that's going on around here is also in marriages. Some of us are like, oh, that's right, I forgot about that. Yeah, it is. It's, you know, it's, sometimes marriage is hard, and sometimes it's hard because some of these basic things, like dating, we don't do anymore. And so we've got a new ministry starting here. It's actually a date night. It's actually a date night, and we're actually saying, if you want to come and do some double dates, maybe you haven't double dated with anybody since you dated, and this is an opportunity for people who are married, or even if you're just dating, to come and be around other people and just kind of date together and have a good time together. Now, the only thing is, if you don't have a date, you can't come. Okay, so you can't be coming in and worming in on our action. You can't do that. You know, if you want to come, you know, that's cool. But that's there's more information on the table for you to get for that. And then finally, next week, our Super Bowl service, our annual Super Bowl service. Some of you were here last year when we did that. Great, great fun. It's going to be fantastic. Come. It's a great time to bring a friend if they've never been to Crossroads and want to check it out. And you're going to be hard finding a seat in here in 1140. Last couple weeks, every seat in here in Video Cafe has been used. 10, 20, 11, 40. Looks like today the weather scared some people off. So there's seats at 9 o'clock on Saturday night. So just think through that. Well, let's pray before I go any further after all those announcements. God, man, help me understand who you are in a greater degree. And we all want to help. We all want help with that because none of us have it all figured out. And all of us are works in process. And I pray as I communicate about the power that you offer, that you would help us to understand that and receive that power for our change today. Amen. Well, a lot of us do different things to keep up on the news. Some of us do MSNBC. Some of us do USA Today. I find the best publication out there is the World Weekly News. The World Weekly News. Very helpful. Now, here's a recent headline on the World Weekly News. It was Saddam and Osama adopt saved ape baby. Now, that's news right there, you know. That's important stuff for us to really understand. But really, the big killer article in this issue was down below where it says, plus, found, hair from God's beard, and DNA tests prove it's for real. I don't know how DNA tests would prove that since I don't know where God's beard was ever originally tested. And furthermore, God is not a physical being. One of the things that the Bible says is that God is spirit. And then more specifically, God exists, according to the Bible and classic Christianity, in three persons. It's the Trinity. God the Father, who is in spirit. God the Son, who is Jesus, who took on human flesh and had some flesh. And thirdly, God the Spirit, also known as the Holy Spirit, or in some circles known as the Holy Ghost. And what I want to do is talk about that today, because this is... you know, this is some intense stuff. I'll tell you, this is going to be the most intense, highest octane thing that you can talk about today. This idea of the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about it today because many of us are frustrated. You come in here, you have an inspiring service, you're all fired up to change, and you leave here, and eventually it peters out, and nothing of significance happens. And what happens instead is you get frustrated. You get burned out because you keep trying and trying and trying and trying. And ultimately, you realize what I've realized is that I can't change myself. I need God in my world because I can't change myself. If you think you're alone in change, you're going to have frustration and burnout. Whenever I do research for a topic, I try to make sure I buy the right things, not because it's all that important to me financially, but it's more important to me time-wise. Buying a book is easier than giving time to a book. So I want to read reviews and make sure I'm giving my time to a book. And so at the beginning of the series, I found this book on Amazon that I thought was going to be absolutely perfect. It was called Change Your DNA, Change Your Life. I said, oh man, I'm going to buy that. Awesome. Before I do, let me read some reviews. One of the reviews I read was from M in Copenhagen, whoever he is. And here's what he said. Well, this man, well, about the author, this man with an unusual resume has taken legitimate concepts, put them in a colorful book, and exploited borrowed knowledge. But the emperor has no clothes on. The only impact of these exercises is a placebo effect. If he knows how to revitalize your DNA, why is the author a balding, overweight social outcast with 4 failed businesses and 5 failed marriages? Ow. Hey, you know, absolutely. I mean, that's why I didn't buy the book. That's very, very, very true. You know, and And when you say that I know God and God is active in my life, when you say that and there's no change in your life, you can't say that. You really can't say that. I mean, if you are the same person fundamentally now than you were a year ago, you may have a spiritual problem. One of the worst things someone can say to me is, man, you never change. You never change. I'm like, really? Now, if they mean by that, like, your stupid sense of humor is still stupid, that's okay. I understand that. But if they're saying that, Brian, at, you know, your 10-year reunion anniversary or 20, or you're still the same person. You're saying, I know that I got a spiritual problem because God is in the process of change. He's in me. And if I'm not changing, if I'm not growing, then God isn't there, because that's what God does. He comes in and he changes us. He grows us. And the way he does this is by sending in a different agent and inserting him into our life. And that agent is called the Holy Spirit. The book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1:22, speaks about how God does this. It says, God has set his seal of ownership on us, and he put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now, the author here is writing to certain people, but this verse is not true for everybody. This is not true for everybody. But for some people, God sets his seal of ownership upon them and says, okay, now I own you. And when that happens is when someone comes to be a Christ follower. They want to give their lives to Christ. They want to give their lives to God. And when that happens, it's not just, okay, I'm going to try really hard, but God deposits, as it says, puts a deposit of himself inside of us, which is the Spirit, which guarantees what's to come, which means that we will grow to be the person that God ultimately wants us in the span of eternity. But the interesting thing about this is that Spirit is capitalized. It's capitalized. Now, the reason that's interesting is because what is capitalized in literature? All of us, I think, went to third grade. What's capitalized? Persons, places, and what? I always forget titles or something or whatever. Persons, people are people. Are capitalized. And the Spirit is a person. The Spirit is not a nebulous spiritual force. It's not a, you know, may the force be with you kind of thing. Brian picked on Star Trek and picked a little on Star Wars, you know, cool thing. But it's not a matter of may the Spirit be with you, as if there's just this nebulous spiritual force that's going to kind of move you and float you and all this kind of stuff. The Spirit is a person. That's why it's capitalized. It's the person of God. And we also see it's the person of God in Scripture, because we see the Spirit doing things like grieving, like having emotions that only persons have, not mere forces. Also see that that there's expressions towards it as far as the Spirit walking and that kind of stuff that we're going to see in a moment. And so what happens is that God puts his Spirit in people who want God in their life, who want Christ in their life, and that acts as the change agent where God says, now I own you. And it puts a seal on our life, which is the idea of, kind of ancient times, they'd take wax and they would dip it on like a parchment scroll, you know, and the guy would take a signet ring and dip it in the wax. And you'd say, now that realizes that that's the person who owns that. Or the Roman governors would have their seal. Whenever they want to mark an area that says, I own this, you can't go there, they'd take that, they put their seal in it. And so what God does is he'll put his seal of ownership on people's lives and deposit in them his actual presence. And then what that Spirit does is actually works change. And this is the way it works in the physical world. In the DNA world, you insert a retrovirus into the system, because our DNA cannot change. Our system cannot change in and of itself. But if you put a retrovirus in, what it does, it kind of tricks the cell. It goes into the cell, and the cell then begins to reproduce that retrovirus's DNA as opposed to the DNA that was there at conception. But an outside agent has to come into our system to have that happen. And spiritually speaking, if we want to be different, if we want to change, there must be an outside agent to sustain us and make us to be completely different people. This is also one of the laws of thermodynamics, you know? There must be outside force to change something, because all things in and of their own power will go to a greater level of disorder without an external force to bring change. And this is what spiritual growth is. It's tangibly changing to be more like him. It's not coming to church, whatever church you want to go to. That's not spiritual growth. It's not reading the Bible. I hate to bum you out on some of that. It's not spiritual growth. It's not memorizing Bible verses. And it's definitely not cheesy bumper stickers in the back of your car. It's definitely none of those things. And it's not all that. Yeah, but you know what? Those things aren't necessarily bad, but those things are not spiritual growth. Those things, except for the bumper sticker, those things can help us grow. Those things can help us grow, but spiritual growth is when I'm a different person, when I'm changing, when I'm growing. That's what spiritual growth is. And if our life is no different now than it was before, we have to question, is God active in me? I was talking with a guy after this last service, and he was saying, he calls himself a seeker, and he says, I'm not sure exactly who God is or what Jesus is about and whether or not I want to buy this whole thing. But he said, I've really been kind of puzzled because I hang around with people here at Crossroads who call themselves Christ followers, and they become my friends, and then I just find out that they don't, like, don't do anything you talk about on stage. I said, really? Well, like, you know, I'm hearing what you're saying, hearing what the Bible says. It seems like there's some stuff that's basic that I don't understand, that that's not in their lives. Like, I don't see them, I see them gossiping the same amount. I see them, they say they're having sex before they're married. This is frequently, and I talk to them about what the Bible says about giving back 10% right off the top, and they have good reasons why they don't do that. And I'm just having a hard time seeing if this is, he's struggling there. Because he understands wherever he is spiritually, he actually has more insight than whoever he's hanging around with. Because he realizes that if this stuff is real, shouldn't there be change? Shouldn't there be something that's different inside of us? That's the way God works. He works change. To help us out with this, I got a couple little props here. I want to do, let's see, you can have that, and you can have any of that. Okay, just go ahead and grab that. Got a couple other things here, and you can have that. And all right, okay, now, who did I give that first to? Who's got the little potato chippy things? Who got those? Right here, what would he have right there, ma'am? Rolled gold. Remember that old commercial, Rolled Gold? Remember that? No, you don't. Get a life. Okay, open that up. What do you have inside of Rolled Gold? What do you have inside your Rolled Gold baggage? You got Rolled Gold pretzels. That's right. Who else had something over here? What'd you have? Cheetos. Open them up real quick. What do you got there? What do you got inside there? Cheetos. Who else had something? What do you got there? M&M's. Go ahead, open them up quickly. Go on the clock. Open them up. What's inside your little M&M's bag there? Reese's Pieces? No way, I thought you said you had M&M's. Who else had some little candy thing? What do you got? You got Reese's Pieces? What do you got inside your little Reese's Pieces there? M&M's. So what was yours? Who had the big bag? What do you got there? You got some Ruffles or something like that? What do you have in there? You got, oh, that's my gym laundry. I'm so sorry. I forgot that. Would you kind of give me my laundry back there? And don't take a whiff before you give me back. Just go ahead and give me my, now, what am I illustrating here? Go ahead, you throw. There you go. Thank you. Now, what's the point here? You know, here's the point. Anything that's man-made, whatever it says on the wrapper, is not necessarily what's inside. Remember this at Halloween, I'd go out and get all the candy, and my parents would scour it, make sure that there wasn't razor blades inside of it, or someone didn't mess up with the wrapping, because what it says on the outside doesn't really have any guarantee that that's what's on the inside. And that's the way many of us are. On the outside, we look like really nice spiritual people, got our stuff together, you know. We look fine, and some of us got the spiritual veneer, the Christian veneer, but inside, what's inside does not match what's on the outside, and that's a problem. Got some other things here. All right, what do you have there? What do you have? I hope I didn't conk anybody in the head. What's on the back there? What's on the back? What do you have here? All of us all have these. What do we have here? No, you don't. You have a banana peel is what you have. You have no idea what's on the inside. In fact, none of us have ever bought a banana. The only thing we ever bought is a banana peel. Because we don't know what's inside there. Let's see what's inside. Go ahead and open that thing up. What do you know? A banana. Remember that old Sesame Street thing? Banana. A banana is what we have here. A banana. And you know what? This is the way that God works. I'm not going to do that. This is the way that God works. Everything God creates, what is on the outside matches what's on the inside. God is a God of integrity. Everything God creates, anything that is, what you see on the outside is always what you get on the inside. There's never any contradiction. Because God works inside out integrity, inside out and change. And so as we come closer to God, we will start to have this reality in our life where what is inside of us will start to mirror what people actually see. And when God puts the external agent of the Holy Spirit in our life, our life starts to change and people start to see different things. That is the way it works. That's the way it's always worked. That is a spiritual truth in God's kingdom. This is what it says in the book of Galatians. Galatians 5 in the New Testament portion of the Bible. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, there's a bunch of things in here I want to tease out here for us. One of the things I want to tease out is here it says when the Holy Spirit comes in, there are certain things associated with the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that naturally start to pop up in somebody that possesses the Holy Spirit. And some of the things that were in us that were not good, they start dying off. They start being killed off. They start going away. But what has to happen is you have to make an intentional decision to live in step with the Spirit. It's an interesting one, in step with the Spirit. People say to me, well, Brian, do you take the Bible literally? I say, well, take the literal parts literally and the figurative parts figuratively. What I mean by that is, here we have a poetic device, this last line, keep in step with the Spirit. This is a poetic device. The Holy Spirit doesn't have feet, okay? He doesn't, you know, literally walk around. But what's saying there is this, is the Holy Spirit will move, and it's our decision as to whether or not we want to move and go where God is. As God walks around in our life and goes to different areas of our life, our marriage, our financial life, our physical life, our emotional life, our friendship life, you know, as He walks around and starts saying this needs to change, we have to make the decision, will I go where God is in those areas? Will I go there? Will I walk there? You know, how do you encourage somebody to bring change in your life? How do you do that? How do you encourage a relationship, any relationship? The person you're dating, the person you're married to, kids, whatever. You know how you do it? You say yes. You say yes. My son wants to go skating today. I'm hoping I can do it. I got something I can do after church. But I know that if I say yes to him, that communicates value to him, that communicates that I honor him, and it strengthens our relationship. That's the way any relationship grows. And when you communicate value to somebody, you say yes. Yes. And it's the same way with God. When we sense God might be giving us an impression or a thought or a feeling that might be of Him, and how do we know that it's of Him? Well, first thing you do is say, well, is this a loving thing? Is this a joyful thing? Is this a peaceful thing? Is this a patient thing? And by the way, patience is there. It's also translated as long-suffering, because sometimes crap happens in our life, and you know you have the Spirit if you can endure through it. If you can endure through it. And what happens is we say, all right, God, will I say yes to you on this? And sometimes this can be very significant things. Sometimes it can be very seemingly insignificant things. Somebody cursed me a number of years ago. I'm going to curse you right now. You're probably never going to walk down a sidewalk the same, because I don't, since this person said this to me. So if you don't want to hear this, just go, a la 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 la. I walk down a sidewalk, and if I see a piece of paper, I will oftentimes bend down, pick it up, and throw it away, because I know that God is the biggest fan of creation there is, and God doesn't like to see His creation mucked up. And so if I'm walking down, I sense that to keep in step with the Spirit means do the simple thing, just bend down, pick up the piece of paper, and throw it away. Sometimes I won't do that. I'll walk an entire block, but it'll be nagging at me because I have all the reasons why I shouldn't. Well, I can't pick up every piece of paper and I'll get dirty. I have all the reasons why I shouldn't. But sometimes I'll get a block away and I still feel like bad about this thing. And I go, maybe it's just my own conscience. Maybe it's the Spirit saying something to me, but I want to encourage the Spirit. And every time I discourage the Spirit, I say no. So I'll go back a block. I'll go back a whole block, find that stinking piece of paper and get it up and throw it away. And in doing that, I say to God, yes, I say, whatever you're doing in my life, I want to say yes to that. And it might be I just see somebody I want to encourage. I might see somebody I want to go up and put my arm around them and say, way to go. Hey, you're doing great. How's things going? What's your deal on Pete Rose? What do you think about Pete Rose? You know, let me tell you about Pete Rose. I don't care if he gets in or not. I'm just sick of the whole thing. I wish the dude would just go away. I know that sounds really awful because I'm from Pittsburgh and I don't have the same passion for the Reds as some of you might. But I really don't care if he gets in the hall or not. I'm just really tired of reading about him. Now, everybody else has clapped at other services, but you haven't. That's okay. That was probably, I say at least one statement every service is going to get a lot of connect cards that hate me. And that's probably the one that I said right there that they're going to really hate me about. But, you know, here's the thing. It doesn't really matter to me one another. I'm just kind of tired of reading about the guy. But what do you know? Whenever he's in the paper, I still read. I guess like I'm like an addict. I'm a junkie. I got to keep reading about the thing. So I read about 2 weeks ago. It was very interesting to me. They talked about how in his book he was saying some confessions, and maybe this might get him into the Hall of Fame. And so somebody asked him, you know, what would you do to get back in? Would you, if they said some things to you and you had to change some things, you know, would you do that if you were going to get back into baseball? And here's what Pete Rose said. He said, I would do anything they say. But they have to understand that one of my means of entertainment is periodically going to the races. I'd do anything they say, but they understand that's just kind of one of my deal. And by the way, I'm not one of these guys that says you can't gamble. I mean, some people are going to freak me out over that. I'm not like this, you can't do it under no circumstances. Firstly, if a guy wants to go to the races or not, I'm not going to say anything about that. But what I am going to say is if someone says, I'll do anything they say, well, then do anything they say. Don't. But this is one of my means of entertainment. They got to understand that. And if you get upset about Pete Rose saying something like that, we have to ask ourselves, do I do the same thing? You know, we say to God, maybe in a setting like this, God, I'll do anything you say. God, I'll do anything. But you have to understand, God, that I'm just wired differently, and I'm just not going to be one of those touchy-feely people that, you know, is encouraging. You just got to understand that, God. But I'll do anything you say. God, I'll do anything you say. But you got to understand, those people that dissed me and did me pain before, I'm not going to get over that. Not going to get over that. And if I ever have a chance to get mine on them, they're going to get theirs. But I'll do anything you say, God. But the whole forgiveness thing, no, that's not. God, I'll do anything you say. I'll do anything you say. But you know, this whole idea of giving back 10% of what you've already given me? No, because financially, that's just nothing going to happen to me. No, I'll do it, but not that. No. God, I'll do anything you say, but you know, my spouse just has to realize that the problems of our marriage are their problem, and I'm really not going to change. I mean, they just got to understand. I'm not going to become, God, I'll do anything you say, but that unethical situation at work, I'm not the kind of person to jump in and make waves, and who am I? I'll do anything. See, every time that we say, I'm not going to do that, or no, God removes a portion of his blessing in our life, and he stops walking. He stops moving, he just stops. And when he stops, we stop spiritually growing. And so the role of spiritual growth, the key is to see where the Spirit is going and to say yes. Now, the example of how this happened in my life just the last couple weeks, and I'm really sorry to beat a dead horse to death again. If that's not a bad saying, I'll say it. You know, I'm beating a dead horse, but this is what the Spirit's been walking in my life. It's the television saga. I'm so sorry to bring this up. A little brief recap. I've struggled for months whether or not we should buy this television upgrade because I really believe that anything that I have is something that God has given me, and I have no money. It's all His, and I have to figure out what's going to happen with that and just manage His resources, not mine. So when I buy something like a television, I can think through, God, this is something that, you know, I need to do. So did that, got the television, and then flipped out on my kids and, you know, all that stuff. I talked about that a couple weeks ago. It was not one of my finer moments. Flipped out on them because they cleaned the thing wrong. And you would think it would just be over and done. Well, it wasn't. It wasn't. I'm sitting there watching my television, click, 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 and watching football a couple weeks ago. It's what I love watching on television, watching football. And I'm looking at the screen, I'm going, I'm squinting, because I can't see the numbers on the guys. I'm going, what is that about? That's not a very clear picture. So I'm like trying different channels to see if it's just that channel. And then I'm going, well, maybe there's just a bad signal today with all the cable. I'll see what it's like tomorrow. And then I'm messing with every single, you know, setting you can on the remote control. And, you know, I'm wearing the buttons out by checking everything around. Finally, after a few days, I'm like, dude, this is just not right. My picture here with this, supposed to be this better, incredible television is worse than the previous one. So called the place where I bought it from. They sent out some repair guy to see, you know, what's going on, because I don't want to lug this thing back and all that stuff. So it comes out and the guy goes, yeah, what you got there? So you got, what you got there is your picture. That's such a good television that the television itself is better than the cable line coming in. And so it's accentuating all the impurities in the cable line. And that's why your picture is bad. I said, hold on. But you're telling me that my television is too good. He said, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. My television is too... I said, but my other television, the picture was better. It was fine. Well, he said, that's because your other television wasn't good enough to pick up all the impurities in the line. And now this one is. And that's, you know, I'm like, oh. I said, so what do I got to do? He said, well, you got to go get a digital satellite, or you got to get a digital cable line, or whatever. You got to do that. And I was like, you're kidding. So I asked some people around. I asked some people just to make sure that it was consistent. And everyone said, yeah, sure enough. With that, you know, nice television, that's what it is. I was like, oh, gosh. So I spent like a whole day, like calling all these places, getting prices, writing them down, calling Time Warner, Digital Satellite, Cable, Dish Network. I'm just saying them all because I don't want to promote any one of them. You know, I'm calling them all. And I make my choice. I order which one is going to come in. It's going to come in like next week. It's going to be installed. So I go to bed that night. I think everything is all done and good. And I'm sleeping. And I keep waking up like every 45 minutes. I'm dreaming about television. I'm dreaming about like this big line going, this whole thing. I'm like waking up and I'm dreaming about cable. I'm dreaming about, and when I wake up, it's not like happy wake up. It's like something's just not feeling good to me here. I get up in the morning and I'm like, honey, that television is going back is what that's going back. Because as soon as I start dreaming about television, something isn't right. That's not the kind of stuff I want to dream about. Why did I know that? Well, because it wasn't promoting in me love. It wasn't promoting joy. It wasn't promoting peace, patience, understanding, or anything like that. And this is the weird part. I'm not sure. I haven't really spent that much time trying to figure out maybe I shouldn't have bought it in the first place. I went through a long process. So I'm not even rethinking whether or not I should have bought the television in the first place. All I'm thinking of is I knew at that moment something was not going on that was right. I needed to make a change. And as soon as I went and made that change, took it back, got a cheaper television, been sleeping great. Been sleeping great. Now, here's what happens in here right now. There's a whole bunch of different people in here. Let me tell you what you're thinking. The moralist in here is going like this. Here's the moralist. Well, yeah, absolutely, Brian. It's ridiculous to have television, especially cable. You know, the crap is on cable. All the, you know, the scantily clad women. So the moralist in here is saying, television is just bad. Cable is bad. It's just bad, bad. The moralist is saying, well, obviously, cable is always bad. And the frugalist in here is saying, well, obviously, you shouldn't have bought a television like that. You should just have like a 27-inch. And the frugalist looks at everything through just this. And the socialist in here is saying, well, everybody should have the same television. And so if you can have a better television than me, then obviously God isn't happy. And the spiritualist in here is going, well, whatever feels right, you do it. And you just, you know, it's whatever feels. And this is what we'll reduce our life to. We have our lenses, our Excel spreadsheet that we reduce life to. And life is not that empirical. It's not. There are some things that are just categorically, that's the way it is. But things like this, like a television, that, you know, God really doesn't have that big of an opinion on televisions. He really doesn't. What he does have an opinion on is if the Spirit is saying something in the midst of your life and you want to tell the Spirit yes, and you want God to become bigger and bigger and become more powerful in your life, what God cares about is us saying yes. Yes. Saw the Spirit in a very unique way this last week, yesterday. I sat there with my friends, and there were these parents who lost a kid, who I've been friends of theirs for 7 years, and we used to set up and tear down Kids Club together years ago. I cried more yesterday. If you can capture my tears from yesterday. I cried more yesterday than my entire 38 previous years combined. And by the way, that's as much of a statement of how emotionally whacked I am. Really. I mean, I'm not saying that's good. Part of it's that. Part of it is just, it just wiped me out. I'll tell you what also killed me. It killed me to see what it's like to have the fruit of the Spirit in people's lives like that. They had their friends that were here, friends that, you know, don't profess to go to church or know God or anything like that. And they're looking at them and they're going, what is it about you people? Are they crying? Yes. Are they grieving? No doubt. Are they ever going to fully get over this? I mean, are they ever just never going to think about it? Probably not. Yet in the midst of that whole thing, there was love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. There was stuff that was happening inside of them that they couldn't have fabricated on their own. They could have read as many self-help books as they wanted. The fruit of the Spirit was popping up in their lives. And for the rest of us looking at it, we were like, wow, wow. That's what it's like to have a surrendered life to God. That's what it's like. In your programs, we handed out these things called 20 questions that we produced a little over a year ago. Something I'd like to give you. We'd like to give you to help you in your spiritual journey or trying to figure out what the Spirit of God is doing inside of you. We gave these away at Next Level about a year ago. I'm going to give these away this year here. This is something we do every year where you can actually chart your spiritual growth and you can help chart what the Spirit might be doing in your lives. And it's pretty simple. All you got to do is just read the thing, go through and like do the self-study, do the self-questions and kind of check those things off. And then you'll see there's a couple loose ones. You got to give these to someone else. This is why most of us won't do this. You got to have somebody else actually tell you the way you really are. Okay, three of them. And then what you do is you take that back. And you just say, okay, this is a picture of my life where it is right now. And then you do it in a year from now. We'll give them out again a year from now. And then you do it again. And you say, okay, how does my life compare now to what it was a year ago? And what does this say about what the Spirit is doing in my life or what God wants to have happen in my life? This is a tool that you can use to facilitate your spiritual growth. There's a lot of things I talked about today. I feel weird talking about it because I know it's new stuff. I know it's new, and I know it's somewhat weird even and it's somewhat incomprehensible. And all I'd ask you to consider is, if I were to walk into a chemistry class, a college-level chemistry class, I would feel all of those emotions. I'd feel weird. I'd feel like I don't get this. I'd feel like this was new stuff to me. But that wouldn't mean that it wasn't right. And there's stuff that we're going to hear in here that you're not going to hear anywhere else. You're not going to hear in any college class. You're not going to hear in Letterman. You're not going to read in USA Today. But this is the basics. This is the basics of what Jesus has been about, God's been about, the Bible's been about for thousands of years. And some of the things that we do can facilitate what God's doing in our life. And that's all I ask you to consider. I want to lead you through a spiritual exercise that I do on a somewhat regular basis. And it's something that I found that helps me to get in touch with what God's Spirit might be saying or doing in my life. And I'll walk you through that if you'd like to right now. If you want to, you can. If not, you can just kind of space out for a bit. But let's just go ahead and bow our heads. Let's bow our heads and just be silent for a little bit. You know, whenever I am silent for any period of time, which is not often, I normally always got a radio going or a television going or some conversation happening. But whenever I'm still in silence for any period of time, one of the things that I become aware of is my breathing pattern. I notice the frequency of my breaths. I'll notice the depth of my breaths. I'll notice the wheezing that might be going on in my nostrils or in my lungs. I'll notice the air coming through my nostrils in and what it's like to exhale. And this is very similar to an ongoing thing that we have to do with God. Saying, God, as I breathe in, I want to breathe you in. I want to breathe your truth in, your love, your spirit. I want to breathe you in. And the things in my life that need to leave, the impurities in my life that need to leave, my selfishness, my whatever, I want to be cognizant, God, of breathing you in, breathing your purity in, and eliminating and breathing out those things in my life that need to go and need to be changed. So in science's place right now, I'd like you to think that through, and maybe you want to ask God to do that. Maybe you want for the very first time to ask God to deposit His Spirit in your life. You want to ask that deposit. And for others of us in here, we've gotten that deposit, but man, we've been spending so much, there's not much left in that deposit. And we need to breathe in a fresh filling of God, which the Scripture also speaks about. And for others of us, we're recognizing there's things in our life that are thwarting the Spirit's movement. The Spirit can't move around in our life because we've got too many things that are sacred objects that are stockpiled. And we're saying, no, you can't touch this, can't move this, this won't go. And the Spirit has no room to move. We need to empty some things. Just do whatever you need to do in your privacy with God right now as you breathe. God, thank you for caring enough for us that you don't expect us to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, and you don't put this expectation on us that is completely unrealistic, that we really cannot change ourselves and do things on our own, at least not the level of change and growth that needs to happen in our life. And I also thank you that you are so patient with us. You have that fruit of the Spirit more than we do. And the level of patience or long-suffering, you got that with us to an unbelievable degree that in the midst of our stubbornness and unwillingness to address some of our issues, you're there and you're patient with us. Thank you for that. And I pray that all of us in here would be more sensitive to where your Spirit is walking in our lives, and we would more frequently say yes. Say, but because you say so, I will. And go. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.